The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library. Mister, darling, you look stunning. You've gone all out for our dinner at the Broom and Fang with the lore men. Oh, do a turn for me, won't you? A top hat and tails. Three tails.
Thank you, madam. And you, that sequin gown. My word. And I don't recall seeing such a grand ceremonial pointed hat.
Well, thank you for noticing, darling. It was my grandmother's. She was buried in it. Thank goodness for the League of Lady Gravediggers, right? And honestly, my compliments to your tailor.
He's brand new. The other one was delicious. This gent understands how to customize a tail hole. I assume we're picking the lads up in the Studebaker Undertaker.
Nope. I've sent the gardener to pick them up in Grandpa's crusty old carriage.
But, madam, it's infested with fleas.
I know.
Wicked.
James, I don't want to alarm you, but we seem to be in a coach of some kind.
Did you read the invitation properly?
What invitation?
From Miranda Merrick. She's invited us to the Broom and Fang. I think I might have just said yes for both of us.
Oh, thanks, James.
Are you getting bitten?
Yes, stop that, James.
No, these fleas, they're quite big and they're quite old, so they've got no teeth, so I'm kind of just getting love bites.
Yeah, that one's wearing a top hat.
What?
It's come to a stop, James.
Let's go and assume that it's been paid for.
Yeah, hold on, I'll get the door for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, gentlemen, watch out for the puddle.
Thank you.
Of what I assume is water.
It's a real yellow water.
It's everywhere.
Is that the Broom and Fang?
The Broom and Fang pub.
That's a big bouncer, though.
They never look as bouncy as I hope. I don't think I've ever seen a bouncer that I really wanted to be bounced by.
That's the tragedy of the bouncer. They can never bounce themselves.
Oi, gents, what's the password?
Is there a password?
I've got an idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Password, but the A is a 4.
He's not giving anything away on his face, but...
I don't think he can.
I'm not sure that is a face.
Yeah, close enough.
Oh, the door's opening. Oh. Let's get off these wet, urine-soaked shoes.
Over here, gentlemen, over here.
James, it's Miranda Merrick.
Step right this way, gentlemen. Just jump over the pit of vipers. You'll be fine.
And now let's jump over the pit.
Welcome to the Broom and Fang, gentlemen. How are you this evening? And let me say how kind it was of you to accept my invitation.
I've been in lockdown so long, I'm up for any pub, to be honest. Does it have a QR code?
Won't you please have a seat? Be careful not to sit on Irma. She's so tiny.
Oh!
Irma, would you like to say hello to the nice gentleman?
Hello.
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 Hiya.
Sit still, be a good girl. Gentlemen, I've taken the liberty of ordering a plate of cheeses for you and just a little bit of normal water.
Okay, are any of the cheeses vegan or should I just stick to the normal water?
This is the sort of place where we need to check the water's vegan, if I'm honest.
I'm sure they're at least a percentage vegan.
I've never been more jealous of your veganism, honestly.
No, come on, James. Do not be rude.
I'll just have this cracker that's got seems to have hair.
Don't let it wiggle away from you. Get it quickly. Very good.
Delicious.
I'm sorry Mr. Darling's not with us just at the moment, but he will join us. He's helping his brother in the kitchen, and Mr. Darling's other brother is the bouncer that you encountered at the door.
Yeah, no, you can definitely see the family resemblance.
You can smell the family resemblance.
But the Darling's all right to work in a kitchen?
Absolutely.
Probably quite a big hairnet that they'd have to wear, isn't it?
It's body size. It has a zipper.
Full-on hazmat suit, yeah, good.
There's a mushroom dish here that Alistair may like.
Yeah, you should eat that right now. They're the red and white.
The Amanita type.
Fly agarics.
They're especially fly agaric here in the Broom and Fang.
For an agaric guy.
Or I'll just eat a corner of a mushroom, but if I change size, so help me.
There are just some wonderful offerings here at the Broom and Fang. There is the Chupacabra chimichanga that they do, which is, oh, just out of this world. There's also a kumquat compote that I cannot get enough of.
How are you spelling kumquat? Doesn't matter.
Here comes our gentleman. There's our Mr. Darling.
Hello, Mr. Darling.
Hello, Mr. Darling.
Greetings, gentlemen. Apologies for being late. I have to help out in the kitchen, you see.
James was absolutely loving the cheese just before you got here. I don't know if you could hear that or see it in his face.
Yeah, you could see the cheese in my face.
Oh, you've enjoyed it then?
He's loving the cheese.
In the kitchen, my brother and I like to lick the surfaces of the cheese. It gets the salt to stick, you see.
What's that smell?
Irma.
Oh, that wasn't Irma, darling. Their food's arrived.
I don't want to be that guy, but I think there's a wolf hair in my soup.
Well, it is wolf hair soup.
My mouth feels itchy.
I would just block out about 3 hours for some loo time tomorrow afternoon.
While your food is cooling, why don't you gentlemen entertain the table with a story that you're so famous for?
Should we tell them about a pub, Alistair, while we're in a pub?
I've got more than a haunted pub, actually.
What?
On the northeast coast, I've got a haunted grotto cum gastro pub.
Oh. Have I heard of this one? Is this the one that's in... Is it in a cave?
It is a cave. I'm talking about Marsden Grotto.
Yes. It's a seaside pub, isn't it?
It's a coastal cave that was transformed into a restaurant and latterly into a pub. Haunted by the blood-curdling screams of a treacherous smuggler.
There's like a couple of famous cave pubs in the UK. There's Ye Old Road to Jerusalem in Nottingham, which is one of the many pubs that claims to be the oldest pub in Britain.
Oh, yeah?
And yes, Marsden Grotto, if I remember rightly, it started out as just a sort of dent in a cliff. Until in 1782, a chap called Jack Bates came along with a load of dynamite. And
it's the oldest story of all.
Yeah, man meets cliff. Basically, he turned a small hollow in a cliff into a house using only the power of dynamite.
It's so rare that dynamite turns something into a house, isn't it? Normally you start with a house and dynamite, and at the end you have neither a house nor dynamite.
Well, it's like Michelangelo never said, all you need to do is chip away at the stone that doesn't look like David using dynamite.
I think people visualising a house might be visualising something a little fancier than what this guy, whose nickname was Jack the Blaster, achieved.
In the write-ups I've read, he says that he didn't have a house to live in. He didn't like paying rent. He just had a load of dynamite and a dream. And he made himself his own house that he didn't have to pay rent in because it wasn't a house.
In a way, it was a cave.
And then he became a smuggler, of course, as one often does on the northeast coast.
It's really one of the few careers that are principally cave-based.
Yeah.
Smuggling.
Cave artist, but that has really died out.
Yep, cave painter.
Or being a bear.
So then a guy called Peter Allen came along.
What I noticed about the Wikipedia page on this was it seemed to have changed hands a number of times, and each owner seems to have a paragraph, and every paragraph basically ends with the words, before falling into disrepair. And then someone else got it.
It's hard to keep a cave in good repair.
How can you tell? Peter Allen, though, I noticed him because he was described as a local man, a Scotsman, but local.
A local Scotsman.
A local Scotsman. Your friendly local Scotsman.
Peter Allen continued excavations and turned it into a restaurant in the 19th century. In the process of doing that, he discovered no less than 18 skeletons.
Yikes.
Yeah.
What, in the rock?
That's not bad.
Those are fossils.
The impression I get is that there were several caves in the area that had been used by your friend and mine, smugglers.
Jack the Blaster and his gang.
Who had, to a great extent, died in the caves.
Minimum 18.
18 min smugglers had died.
So maybe it's minimum 19, because there's definitely one other body there. Because that's the body that gives it its ghost. That was another Jack the Gibber, Or Jack the Jibber?
I'd say Jibber.
How would you say it? J-I-B-B-E-R.
Also called John, but of course Jack is a diminutive of John.
Jack the Jibber.
And I've never actually seen this guy called Jack the Jibber.
John the Jibber, Jack the Jibber.
Jack is a diminutive of John.
Is it the Union John then, the flag?
That's what its mum says if it's in trouble.
Yeah, so at some point this other smuggler called Jack the Jibber,
John the Jibber,
betrayed his smuggling gang to the HM Customs. And then was killed by them by... They put him in a barrel.
His gang, not by customs.
Yes, good point. They put him in a barrel and hung him up the cliff and just left him there.
Oh.
They David blamed him.
Oh.
They totally blamed him.
Wow. And I bet Americans that were watching were really impressed and were like, whoa, oh, what, no? Whereas had any English people seen it, they would have been like, all right. Do another one.
In the true story of David Blaine in the see-through box, someone managed to get a remote control helicopter to airlift a burger in front of his face just to tease him.
Well, that account comes from...
Not of David Blaine.
Not of David Blaine's burger taunting, but of John the Jibber.
Or Jack the Jibber.
That account comes from a book called The World's Greatest Ghosts by, not gonna lie, Blundell. And Roger Bore, aka Nigel Blundell and Roger Bore.
Roger Bore? Is that Roger Moore with a cold?
It's a porcine Roger Moore. And it's a very, very short passage in that book. That book was printed in the 80s. I thought, this might be a modern legend. Mm. And so I dug and dug until I found a 19th century text.
And 18 skeletons.
So the Monthly Chronicle of North Country Lore and Legend,
mm-hmm.
They talk extensively about Marsden Grotto, about all the different rooms that were created by Peter Allen, including the jail room and the devil's chamber.
Mm.
And they tell a story of not exactly the same cave, but nearby caves. I think some of the caves have been smooshed together in the telling.
Ooh.
So there's a nearby cave called the Smuggler's Hole, as well as another called the Hairy Man's Cave.
Yeah, you don't want to get them mixed up.
Quick aside, I'll just read you the account of the Hairy Man's Cave.
No offence, Mr. Darling.
Yeah,
you just have to know if that's the kind of pub you want to go into first.
Apparently, a young sailor who had been disappointed in love took up his abode in the Hairy Man's Cave, which presumably at that time was just called the Cave. He clothed himself in skins and he let his beard grow long and lived the life of a hermit in every way. He was known by the people as Peter Allen's hairy man.
Hey, is this another ornamental hermit?
He's an ornamental hermit.
Oh, wow.
But one night he had a very narrow escape from drowning, after which he left his wild mode of living and returned to his old avocation of a sailor.
So it's kind of the sea came to have a word.
I want you back. I've missed you, hairy man.
I'm the North Sea. I'm the most northern sea. How can a sea smoke 20 a day? It ought not to be possible, but I've done it.
I'm so briny. I miss you.
How can the North Sea have a Mancunian accent? It doesn't seem right. That should be the,
it's
should
the
be
wrong
Irish
side.
Sea, but we know what accent the Irish Sea has.
Oh, go on.
An Irish accent. Here's the story that the Chronicle of North Country Lore and Legend tells. They don't name John or Jack the Jibber.
Do they mention his jibbing?
Jibbing doesn't come up, but lugging does. So, sit tight. A certain noted smuggler had arranged for a lugger to discharge its cargo on the shore. As the time arrived at night that the vessel ought to be approaching the comet and a signal shown from the cave to indicate safety, a man long suspected of treachery, as John the Jibber, was missing. So, to warn the person who's about to land the boat, one of the smugglers fires his gun in the air and lets his dogs off barking. The Coast Guard, who mysteriously were nearby, come down to check it out, but of course there's no boat to be seen. The boat sails off north towards Shields. So the next morning, the Coast Guard pounce on the boat, expecting to find all of the goods that ought to have been dropped off earlier on, and they found 30 casks of tobacco?
Mm.
No, of bilge water.
Oh.
Yeah, the clever smugglers.
Been smuggling bilge water.
Unloaded the tobacco elsewhere.
Fancy European bilge water.
My granddad wouldn't have it. Wouldn't have it. Too foreign.
So they swapped it out?
So they swapped it out. Once again, in this version of the story, the smuggler who attempted to betray the gang was caught, placed in a tub, and hauled up by a rope underneath the hole through which they entered the cave.
Oh.
Mm.
Just left him hanging.
He was only let down once a day to receive some scant food and the jibes of his mates. It's the classic lunch and insults break.
I had a job like that, to be honest.
Is that the one where they came up with cruel nicknames for you?
Yep. Weirdly, I mean, that's a terrible way of starving someone, feeding them daily.
It is.
It seems that they continued that tradition beyond the grave of Jake the Gibber.
Jake now.
Or Jack the Gibber. No, not, let's not get a new name in. Jack the Gibber. His ghost is said to haunt the pub, the Marsden Grotto, and in the past, a pint was left out every night for him, which in the morning it was drunk. Kind of like a smuggling Santa.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
If you will. Now, I read about this, and a person came and drank the ghost's pint.
James, let me stop you.
Some guy drank the pint.
Oh, James, you are insulting not just me, but all the people of the northeast of England.
And not for the first time.
How dare you refer to Alan Robson as some guy? Alan Robson is a radio broadcaster from the northeast of England, and he is also Alan Robson, your flashing bleed. That's his catchphrase. I'm sure I've mentioned him on the podcast before. Your flashing bleed.
That does ring a bell. I think I asked for clarity on what that meant, and I don't think I got it.
And he hosted a show called Night Owls, which was a late-night call-in show for years. And when we were teenagers, it was, it's Alan Robson, your flashing bleed. Everyone began their story with the words, what it is, Alan. Always two is's, otherwise you're not listening to Night Owls. What it is, Alan. And then it would be a story about how they got crabs. Every single time.
I thought he'd moved into the supernatural.
Many of the stories that didn't relate to crabs were about ghosts. I'm sure some of them must have been about both ghosts and crabs.
Ghost crabs. And so, yeah, he came and drank the pint on a live radio show.
You can't stop him because he's a flashing blade.
What is that? Is he saying that someone's...
It means he's your flashing blade, James.
Oh, I'm your flashing blade, and that's...
Alan Robson, your flashing blade.
Oh, I'm Alan Robson. I thought it was like... Yes. Like you're flying low kind of thing, you know.
It's not advice.
Flashing blade, okay, I'll pop it away.
James, your flashing blade.
Well, Alan Robson, your flashing blade, MBE.
Some guy.
Yeah, so he drank from the tanker during a live radio show, and that set off a series of supernatural retributions.
To him?
To the pub.
Ah, nice.
Ashtrays smashed off the walls.
This is a pub in the northeast. These things aren't that rare.
Yeah, I was going to say, that dates it as being in the past. Yeah. All the beer taps were turned on in the cellar, completely flooding it.
With beer?
With beer.
Oh.
And bilge water, no doubt. But this tankard was lost, and they've got a reproduction that they don't use. They just have it in a cupboard. So they've just got a cup in a cupboard now, whereas they used to have this tradition.
And has that kept the ghost happy?
Well, there are a couple of current hauntings. There's the noise of rattling chains. And the article I read that described the rattling chains basically seemed to say the chains rattle on the left side of the bar, but the chains are kept on the right-hand side.
Oh.
So they've got chains in the bar. And bare footprints were seen on the ground, as in B-A-R-E.
Thank you for clarifying.
That would be paw prints, obviously.
Although, Peter Allen did keep pigs, he had two pigs.
Did he?
Yeah, Jesse and Jack.
Or John to his friend.
To give the pig its full name.
Wowzers. Whoa, what is that?
Oh, that is a flaming villager's head on a stick.
Yes, yes. 'Tis indeed.
I need to go home now. Well, we should mention the lift. It really dominates. If you see a picture of the Marsden Grotto now, it's very much dominated by
90%
this gigantic lift shaft. But obviously, because it's on a cliff side, you really need to build out from the cliff to get straight down. So it's a very long walkway. It looks terrifying, because I'm pretty sure that area of the country really gets hit by storms. You want to be skeleton number 20, just trapped in the lift and only let down once a day to have people take the mickey out of you.
Wow.
Brilliant, gentlemen.
Do you think we've gotten away with not eating our dinner?
Oh, I love the story. You know, it reminds me of an old saying. There is not a problem on Earth that cannot be solved with a careful application of high explosives.
In that case, the problem of there not being a pub in the cliff. Very swiftly solved with dynamite.
Yes.
My word, gentlemen. What a story you have provided us with this evening.
Well, if you're ready for scores, our first category is naming.
Wonderful. I certainly remember Jack the Blaster.
Didn't you once date a demon named Jack the Blaster?
I'm sure you're misremembering that, darling. I have no recollection of it.
I doubt that. I arranged the date.
Jack the Gibber?
Yep, we've got a second Jack available.
So we have a Blaster and a Gibber. What is a gibber?
I don't know. It seems too close to my mispronunciation of gibbet. Is it gibbet?
It's gibbet.
Or gibbet? I never remember. It seems too close to gibbet. considering what happens to him, it's like it's almost like a nominative determinism.
I do love a good gibbeting. It's like aging a tasty side of beef.
So far, we have a blaster and a gibber.
You've got Peter Allen's hairy man.
Peter Allen's hairy man, the smuggler's hole, the hairy man's cave.
My word.
All good pub names and also double entendres, which are the best pub names.
You got Alan Robson.
Your flashing blade. Yeah.
MBE.
I've always visualised him as like Zorro.
Have you Googled him?
I've never seen him. I never want to see him, James.
Oh, so he's a Zorro type.
In the Zorro's a human man. Yeah, he is.
He's
a
like a Geordie Zorro.
Yes. Zorro.
Zorro. There's nobody Zorro in Durham. Zorro.
Oh, you flashing blade. Hmm.
Well, it is a nice selection of names. I have heard better. What do you think, Mr. Darling?
No, I'd give it good 4 barks, I would.
Oh, my.
Jack, you can never go wrong with. It goes with anything.
But that bodes well for a later category, Alistair.
Yeah, yep. It does.
Okay,
it does.
Good.
Don't blow it. What's the next category?
Should we go supernatural?
Yeah, let's do supernatural.
I got a feeling they're going to have quite a high tolerance for supernaturality.
Yeah. Bear in mind, most people don't experience the haunting cries of a suspended smuggler ghost day in, day out. That's quite unusual.
Or leaving a pint of booze for a nighttime visitor.
Well, I do appreciate the shenanigans in the pub, but I cannot stand or abide by wasting beer.
Well, it got drunk by something.
Mm.
The ceremonious smashing of ashtrays.
Yes, again, I don't agree with that, because I'm the one who usually has to clean that up.
But that's actually, we didn't really put a human face on that.
Again, I don't know if face is the right word.
Sorry, again, Mr. Darling, apologies. Ooh, what's going on over there?
That's our Natasha, chugging an entire jug of guest guts goulash.
I need to go home now. I definitely need to go home now.
Well, you did have 18 skeletons. Now that...
18?
That's quite low. But that's still a good number to bring to a story. I do have questions about this arrangement for the man spending his time in the barrel. I love that he was lowered down in order to be fed and hoisted back up again. I never heard anything about any bathroom breaks for the gentleman.
Mm. That's probably what the teasing focused on, I should imagine.
I think it's almost supernatural that they managed to starve someone by feeding them daily.
Yep.
That's got to count for something.
So, do we have official ghosts in the store?
There's a man who wanders around the pub at night.
It's mainly a sound ghost, isn't it? The sound of screams.
Ah.
Of a bebarreled man.
I would love to be more impressed with your ghosts and your supernatural category.
I would love for it to be more impressed with it as well.
I don't know. Mr. Darling, what do you think? I'm hovering around a very, very generous 2.
Give them a 2.5 then.
Ooh, do you accept partial points?
We do not accept.
Oh, then it's a solid 2 then.
Ah! This story sounds like it's rife with number 2.
All right, a 2, fair enough.
Okay, extreme makeover.
Oh dear. Ooh. Now there you may have my attention, because I have been able to view the before and after pictures, and yes, it was definitely transformed to a rather posh establishment.
There's so many extreme makeovers. Originally Jack the Blaster, extremely made over a cliff into a house.
Yep.
Using the most extreme form of renovation you can, dynamite.
Yeah, this is like a good pitch for one of those TV shows.
Mm. Like extreme makeovers. Jack has 3 hours to turn a cliff into a house.
They extremely made over Jack the Gibber from a treacherous smuggler to a ghost.
Yeah,
they did.
That is pretty extreme.
Honestly, check out the lift. Mm. That is an extreme lift.
Before the lift, I wonder if they hoisted people up in barrels.
The closest is they said the barrel was near where the lift is, which just means in the air.
People in the northeast will do anything to get to the pub, yes. Just be lowered down to the beach in a barrel.
Just roll us down there.
I'm going to push you for a score for the category of extreme makeover.
Extreme.
You can hardly get more extreme than dynamite. My goodness. What do you think, darling?
All things considered, I give it a hearty 5.
Oh.
Good boy.
It's everything I like in a place.
I think also we've come up with a new phrase to sell dynamite. Dynamite makes a cliff a home. You can have that, the dynamite board.
So, James, I hope you've got a really good final category in your back pocket there.
Okay.
You're looking tense.
Final category... Jax.
Oh.
James.
Jax.
We should have discussed the categories beforehand. Quite a lot of Jacks in this story.
Yeah. Jack is such a famous British name. I've got a list of famous British Jacks just to kind of bolster up this score. We got Jack. You've got the Giant Killer. You've got O'Lantern. You've got Of France.
Yes.
You've got the Buttermilk. Jack Badsaddle, who killed the last wolf in England. Sorry, Mr. D. You've got Angel. Jack and Jill. Fun fact, it was originally Jack and Gill, I learned today. It was two fellas.
Same problem with Gibbet Gibbet.
Yes.
It's not Gack by any chance.
It's not Gack and Gill, it's Jack and Gill.
Are you becoming a ventriloquist?
Gack and Gill.
I think it's this cheese. There's Jack the Giant, which I think in the court case between him and Jack the Giant Killer, that must have been a right old mess. Didn't we have a pig called Jack in the actual story, though?
There was one of the pigs was called Jack, yes.
What? How many more Jacks do you want?
That is quite a lot of Jack. I am a little disappointed there weren't more actual Jacks in the story, but I mean...
Oh, dear.
I mean, some of this category may have been based on James's misapprehension that one of the characters was called Jack the Gibber.
Not John the Gibber.
He's called John the Gibber, but fortunately, I think we can pass him off as a Jack.
I'm between 3 and 4, once again. What do you think?
I'm more of the generous side. I would give it a rousing good 4. I'm in a holiday spirit myself.
It's Christmas.
Tis indeed.
It's Boxing Day.
What do they call Boxing Day in America?
We don't have
Boxing
Day.
They don't have Boxing Day in America.
I believe it's called Unboxing Day. It's very popular on YouTube. Do you hear that, madam? It's time.
Oh, we're being summoned, gents. There's a sacrificial dance and demon wrestling and a blood dip, if you'd like to join in.
Yes, it's going to be great fun for us.
I think we'll just stay seated.
Yep.
And not blood dipped, thanks.
Yes.
Well, be that way, boar men. Have a good night. Well, you sure know how to cut a guest's skin rug, Mr. Darling.
Well, with twice as many feet, I do have double the moves, you know. Where have our guests gone to?
Well, before I went into a trance, I saw Big Lou literally wiping the floor with Mr. Shakeshaft. He looked like a rag doll. And Mr. Beckett King announced to the entire pub that he was going to marry a hairy dragon.
The Broom and Fang doesn't have a hairy dragon.
I know. Now, how about I drive you back to the library?
Madam, I should be chauffeuring you.
Yes, but if I drive, you can stick your head out the window.
Sold.
So do you remember much of what happened this time?
I have, like, a shame hangover.
Mm.
Did you see my dance partner?
Big Lou?
Yes, Big Lou from the League of Lady Gravediggers. I said, I'm not good at dancing, I've got 2 left feet. And she started bragging about how many bits of body she had in her loft. But I think I'm pregnant.
Aww.
But in a non-problematic way.
My evening was fine. I think I shrank down really small and went into the caverns underneath the Broom and Fan.
As far as I could see, you sat in the corner with your coat on.
I seem to remember using my hair to floss the teeth of a giant Hellmouth, but in a non-problematic way.
Okay.
The Midnight Library is proudly brought to you by me, Miranda Merrick, and Astonishing Legends. The excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We are kindly sponsored by our spooky, lovely patrons. If you would like to do as they've done and step beyond the cordoned off areas, visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Join our Patreon and you'll hear directly from me. Just make sure your notifications are on. Find us in your local cemetery and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our bizarre merch can be found at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary.